Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, and our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise be unto God. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And our co-host is Minister Tavika Garnes. Praise God. And I do believe she's on mute at the moment. She is taking care of her wonderful godson this morning. And so because of possible noise, she's muted out, but will click in, you know, when necessary. So, and I must say that wonderful godson of hers is my great-grandson, my granddaughter's baby. So praise be unto God. I know they're having an awesome time today. So we want to say good morning to her and to her husband, Mark Garnes, Elder Mark Garnes, to Deacon Thomas Farr, who has the ministry on Blog Talk. What is it? Oh, my goodness. Chris, oh, my goodness. I forgot the name just that quick. Christian Men Talk. Oh, Lord, Father, forgive me, forgive me. Issues. Christian Men Talk. Amen, amen. Well, I'm telling you, that was just a brain fog right there. I do apologize for that. Anyway, good morning to Joyce in New York. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, woman of God. Good morning to Joyce, her mom, our longest-running follower. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning to Prophetess Dorn, to Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania. Good morning to you all. Good morning to Prophetess Donna Matabucci. Good morning to you, beloved. And there's so many more. I think I said Joyce in New York. Yes, I did. So good morning to all of you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Again, this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. I wish I could tell you that I had something awesome planned for us today. I wish I could tell you that. But that is not the case, so we're going to see where the Lord takes us this morning. That's right, we're going to see where the Lord takes us this morning. For whatever reason, I got confused with my dates and all, and I didn't have the session planned out the way that I normally do. So here we are today without a specific topic to talk about, but I know we will come up with something. I know we will. All righty, so let's go ahead and pray and take it from there. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we do honor you, we bless you, we magnify your holy name, Lord God. We give you all the glory and the honor, for there is none like you. I thank you for this day and all that you're doing in this day, how you brought us safely through the night. Father, thank you for that. Thank you so very much. And Lord God, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. And as we ask you for forgiveness of our sins, our hearts are prepared also to forgive others, oh God, who have come against us. I thank you so much, Lord, that in your grace, in you is so much grace and mercy. And you have allowed that and shared that with us and given that to us. And it follows us daily. So I thank you for this. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. There is none like you. Father, as we go through this day, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Excuse me. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, for those people that need healing, let healing come forth in the name of Jesus. Those that need deliverance, Father, let it be unto them this day, Father. Those that need salvation, restoration, reconciliation, Lord God, let it be. Let it come forth in the name of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. I thank you, Lord God, that that which you started within us, you are so to finish it, to complete it. So, Lord God, have your way today. Holy Spirit, move. Move today like you didn't do yesterday. Move in a way, oh God, that would bring us closer and closer to you. Move in a way that would cause us, oh God, to acknowledge you and to be want to be more like you, to be transformed in your image, Lord God, that we would walk in your glory, Father. Lord God, you do it so that you would be glorified. Father, we give you all the love. We give you all the, well, we can't give you the power, but you have the power. But we give you all the glory, the honor. We give it all to you because you and you alone are the one who deserves it more than anyone else. You're the only one who deserves it. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. As we go into this discussion today, again, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. While I'm thinking about it, remember that you can press 1 on your keypad, and that will let me know that you're in queue and that you wish to share something. And this morning, trust me, I am very open. Anything that you wish to talk about, I don't know everything. God knows I don't. Praise be unto God. But we can take something very impromptu and see where we go with that. And once again, please, I've already prayed for forgiveness, so I'm asking you to forgive me because this is not like me to be on here totally clueless, okay? It's not like me to be on here totally clueless, you know. So if there's something that's burning in your spirit, something that you may have a question about for the listening audience, today would be a good day to share that information, to share that information. I would like to say that last night I was in a class, a prophetic class with Bishop R.S. Walker from Waldorf, Maryland. Yes, so I was in a class with him last night. And near the end of the class, we spoke about prophetic intercession versus priestly intercession. Very interesting conversation, very interesting conversation. And speaking about how the, first, like what was the difference between the priest and or pastor, intercessors, prophets, you know, distinguishing the difference between them, what the responsibility is on each one of their lives or each one of the callings on their life, each one of those offices. And the pastor, you know, is the one that covers the sheep, smooths things out, cover over the sheep. They nurture them, et cetera, equipping them. And this is what the pastor does. And the pastor in prayer goes from the people to the and to God. They are praying for the people, going to God on the people's behalf. making their requests known unto him. Then the prophet is the mouthpiece and the eyepiece of God. They see and they hear from God, and they take the word from God to the people. So if you could draw a diagram and have the people, have God centered there, and have the pastor on one side, the prophet on one side, you would draw an arrow from the people to God for the pastor, and an arrow from God to the people for the prophet. And so the question was asked, well, where does the intercessor fit in? What office, and that was in the fivefold ministry, what office is the intercessor the partner of? And the answer, of course, was that of the pastor. The intercessor is praying for the people. They're standing in the gap for the people, and they go before God on the people's behalf, the same way that the pastor goes before God on the people's behalf. So then we got to the place where we were talking about the prophetic intercession and the priestly intercession. And he described both very, very well. And I'm doing this all from memory. Thank God it was just last night, because I don't even have my book or my notes in front of me at this time. So bear with me as I'm doing this from recall. So the priestly intercession, and not just the pastor praying. There's a difference. All of us can pray. All of us can pray. But there is a special anointing for interceding, a special anointing for interceding. And the priestly intercession is when the pastor is going before God on behalf of the people. But the main difference here, you know, there's a scripture that speaks about how God was looking for someone amongst the people that could speak with him. So amongst the people. So the intercessor is amongst the people. He's one of the people. Now follow me carefully with this. He's one of the people. So when the intercessor prays, let me use Minister Tabika and myself as an example here. Just regular praying on her behalf, I may go to God and say, Father, you know this Minister Tabika, you know what concerns she has, and we're asking you, you know, to bless her, to heal her, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm praying about her. But when the intercessor gets in there, the intercessor becomes one with the people that they're praying for. So if the person, and the example that he used here was homosexuality, if the person is praying for someone that is dealing with homosexuality, the intercessor is becoming one with that person in the prayer, in the understanding. The intercessor is saying, God, forgive us because we violated your word. God, forgive us for such and such and such. So it's not just praying for the person. We become one with the person. And so therefore the prayer, the interceding, the prayer takes on a more personal approach. You intercede so much from your spirit and from your heart. It's like you have become one with this. You've got a spiritual understanding, even though you may not have physically and in the natural experience, what that person experienced, but you're asking God to let you feel the infirmity of your brother or sister, and then you're able to pray from a more sincere place. And I remember when that happened to me years ago, I was praying with my prayer partners, and there was a mother who had asked me to pray for her son who was incarcerated, and he was in his 30s at that time, but he had been starting at the age of 13, going back and forth in the detention center, out of detention, in and out, then finally as an adult to the adult detention center. And, you know, and this has been going on since he was 13. And the mother's heart was broken, and she wanted prayer for her son. And so my prayer partners and I, we began to pray. Now, and neither one of us had a child that was incarcerated. We don't know the burden that we didn't know, the burden that this had on the woman's heart. We didn't know her plight. We didn't know and understand all of the changes that she might be going through personally and her son as well. We had no inclination. We knew that we could pray and ask God, you know, to answer her prayer, attend to her concerns. We could pray and do that. Well, beloved, as we were praying, whew, thank you, Jesus, as we were praying, God took me from that place of just saying a prayer and just like lifted me out of my body and spiritually put me in this woman's body. Now, I know that sounds freaky, but just hear what I'm saying. And not so much her body. Put me where I could feel her spirit, where I could feel her spirit. And in that moment, the prayer changed. The prayer completely changed. And in that moment, I began to travail. I wept. I cried out before God. I cried out about my son. Now, mind you, this wasn't my son. It was her son. But I cried out about my son. I wailed like a mother would do over her son. I began to feel the infirmity, the spiritual infirmity of what she was going through. It just took me into a completely different place, a complete different place. And the pain in my stomach, you know, and that's where we feel the spirit, man, being stirred up. The pain, the turmoil that was in my belly. I was on my knees, bent over, crying out to God on this woman and her son's behalf. I felt what they were going through. And once I went through that and prayed, you know, the type of prayer, in fact, my sisters that were on the prayer line with me, you know, they didn't know what I was going through. And so they were praying me through while I'm praying on behalf of this woman and her son. And after that was over with, from that day forth, when I think about women, even fathers, that have children in prison, detention homes, mental institutions, whatever the case may be, the prayer now is a more heartfelt prayer. I felt the infirmity. I felt the trial. I felt their tribulation. I felt their pain. And it was no longer praying about them. It was, that's me and my son. And that's where I got to the place where when I drive down the street and I see young boys pulled over, sitting on the curb, their hands behind their back. I take on the attitude, that's my son that's out there. That's my daughter that's out there. And my prayer becomes one of a grieving mother over this child or over whatever it is the son is going through or the daughter is going through. There was a compassion beyond that of just, I feel sorry for you. It was, I could now have the empathy, understanding that feeling because of where God took me. And he was sharing with us last night that that's where the intercessor, the priestly intercessor, that's where they go. They go to that place where they're feeling all of this, where they become one with who and what it is that they're praying with. So they're not praying for Minister Tabika. It's like they become Minister Tabika, or we are in this together. So Lord, help us. Lord, deliver us. Lord, heal us. Do whatever it takes. Reconcile us, Lord God. Restore us. The intercessor becomes part of that. And that's what happened to me that time. I became part of that woman and her son's plight. And it gave me a better understanding of when and what a parent goes through. And little did I know, of course, at that time, remember I said that was years ago, and I began to see the boys and the girls on the curb with the handcuffs or being roughed up by policemen. You know, that was my son that you're doing that to. So my prayer changed. And little did I know that the day would come that my actual grandson would be handcuffed, would be taken off to prison, and then eventually end up in a mental hospital behind all of this. But the years of interceding for others in that situation now had become a reality in my own life, and I was able to pray as well. And I must say thank God for what he's doing. When Lady Joyce in New York, you know, said, pray for her son. You know, he's incarcerated. And you pray with a different attitude. You pray from a different spirit. You pray that, God, that's my son that's there. And so that was what he was sharing with us as far as the priestly intercessor. And then the prophetic intercessor, the prophet, that is coming from God to the people, is that the prophet takes on the spirit truly of God. You know, how God grieves over the sin, how when God sees the discord in the world and the messed up stuff, the sin and everything that's going on, and how this may grieve his spirit, whatever the case may be, and that this intercessor takes on the spirit of God in that situation and comes back to the people and like people you got. So they become one with God, whereas the priestly intercessor becomes one with the people. So you see that there are the two different sides of the equator here. So one becomes God to man and bringing the word to man. The other becomes the people taking the word to God on the people's behalf. So it was very, very interesting conversation. A class that was supposed to have ended at 9:30 last night, and I don't think our class ended until 10:15. Last night. It was interesting. There were some unique remarks that were made, interesting questions that came up, and it was something. It really was something. So there's more studying to do on it. studying to do about the intercessor. Oh, the one statement that he made that I know in the beginning puzzled some people, and puzzled some people, was that the fact that the I may have to ask Prophetess Dorn to help me with this, but it was if the prophet is interceding for the people, that the prophet basically was violating their office. The prophet is supposed to come from God, coming to the people, not taking the concerns of the people to God. That is what the priestly intercessor is supposed to do. So, and I know that troubled a lot of people. I could feel it in my spirit, because all of us have the tendency and the wherewithal to pray for others, you know. So we pray on behalf of others. We do that. We do that naturally, you know. But he was saying, don't violate what it is. I mean, we who's not going to pray for their family? Who's not going to pray for their church family? Who's not going to pray for the things that they see going on for the world, in the world? We're going to pray about those things. But we can't get so full of what's happening in the world that we are not in God's face, that we're not in his presence, that we are not feeling the infirmity of his heart, if there's such a thing, even though he's never infirmed, but feeling what's going on in his spirit, that we can't get a word to take back to the people. The word, whether it's a word of rebuke, a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of restoration, we have got to have our spirit so clear and being in God's presence that we are able to get that word coming from God. Again, you know, interesting conversation. And Prophetess Dorn, if you have a remark to make about these things, and maybe, you know, something where you could help me out here, I would love to have you press your button and tune in and help me with this, because you were there, you heard, you know, what was being said, and you know, I just want to be sure that I'm getting this right. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I just thought that this was a very interesting place that the man of God took us, a very interesting place that he took us. So I'm all ears, you know, for anyone chiming in and saying, you know, amen. Thank you, beloved. Thank you. Amen. Good morning, beloved. How are you, Prophet?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Honey, I am blessed. I am blessed. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God.
I don't have a lot of time because I'm on my way to class. But just going back to what you were saying about how you felt, you know, people having issues about what Bishop Walker was saying, and I was I was in that place as well, because I've always considered myself to be an intercessor, even though I know I have the office of a prophet. I walk in the office of a prophet as well, and so this is kind of hard to wrap your brain around. But the thing that I understood is that it's basically all in the way that you pray. Like a prophet is going to decree and declare the word of God over the situation. Whereas when you were speaking about how God had taken you to a place where you could feel the pain of that mother, and I believe that that's the heart of the intercessor. where they pick up and they feel what a person is going through. Whereas a prophet is able to look beyond the situation. They're able to speak to the situation to bring about change. They're decreeing and declaring the word of God over that situation.
You're 100%. Okay. Yes, ma'am, and that was the piece that I left out, the decreeing and declaring, looking beyond that situation. They can't be caught up in the feelings of the person or the situation. They must be in a place where they are in God's presence and they can decree and declare over the situation. That was the piece that I left out. But, yeah, I knew. Look, I knew when he said what he said about, you know, about a prophet basically not being an intercessor, and I'm scratching my head, and I knew that was bothering you. I knew that. Yeah. Hold up, because we, you know, what do you mean we're not intercessors? But we are. It's the prophetic intercessor that we are. Amen. And yeah, that was something that ruffled my feathers for a moment. Thank you so much, honey, for bringing. Go ahead.
You're welcome. I heard Bishop preach, well, minister this before, and I couldn't wrap my brain around it then, and I just put it on the shelf, and I'm like, okay, God, you're going to have to help me with this one because I truly didn't understand. But last night he gave a different light to it. You know, it was like a different light that was that he shined on that whole thing that now I have a better understanding of it. And so a lot of times, we are already walking in that place, and we may not even know it, but I'm already walking. You're already walking in that place. Like, that's how we pray. We pray prophetically. We decree and declare the word of God over the situation. So I just thank him for confirming what God has already placed in our hearts to do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. My goodness, my goodness. Amen. Yes, ma'am, and it is so interesting and good. I'm so glad to hear from you because I know that there were people in the class who was like, hold up, wait a minute, and you know, we weren't as ready to speak out because you don't want to sound like a fool, you know. So you just wait and you listen. And like you said, we put some things on the shelf. And like you, I heard him when he said that before in one of our classes, and I didn't say anything then. And but last night there was more clarity. There was more clarity. And like you said, when we are called by God to do something, 9 out of 10 times we start walking in it long before we identify it and anybody else identifies it. You know, when we are yielded to do what God has called us to do, we are walking in that place. And so all of the class was interesting. I wanted more, of course. You know, isn't that something we always want more because we never seem to get through with a book?
So true. Well, he keeps coming back.
Yep. Yes. Bless God. Interesting. Well, woman of God, it was awesome seeing you last night. It's awesome hearing you share this, and we'll talk more about this as we go on. And I don't mean, you know, just here on the radio, but as we learn more and you and I get together and share, you know, what it is that we are learning and see what God does with it. So it's interesting. It opens up doors and opens up conversations, and for that I am happy with. I am happy with that. Okay, praise God. Is there anyone else that has something that they would like to share? There was one other person on the line that I know is a prophet, and she had to go, just like you saying you have to leave. She had to go, so she left. And there is one other. If anyone else on the line would like to chime in with what we're saying, you have a scripture that you may want to share in dealing with this, please press 1 on your keypad. And go ahead and do so. I'm happy to hear from you. happy to hear from you. I thank God. I thank God again for that experience that I had, you know, and being in that place of feeling what it was that the woman was feeling, because it prepared me for a lot of things. It prepared me for a lot of things. And I know most of you on this line have not heard a lot of the prophets that come on this line. You have not heard them praying. And when you hear them praying, without knowing the difference between the prophet's prayer and the intercessor's prayer, you know, you would say that they were great intercessors. But again, Prophetess Dawn brought out the most important part about this is that the prophet decrees and declares over the situation, and the intercessor is not doing that. The intercessor that's going to God on behalf of the people, and they become part of that situation. They become part of that situation. They feel that thing. But the prophet is decreeing and declaring over the situation, no, you will not have my son. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that he is set free, that he has been returned to what it is and how he was created. I decree and declare, you know, that the demon of this, that, and the other, you know, shall not, you know, continue to infiltrate the bloodline and you know, and so forth and so on. So, you know, that's where the prophetic intercessor is going. That is where the prophetic intercessor is going. So, you know, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. All right, folks, you are listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And today we were discussing, thus far, we were discussing the difference between the prophetic and the priestly intercessor. That's what we were discussing due to a question that had come up in our class that we had last night. And I enjoy these classes so very much. I really enjoy his teaching, but I always want more. I just always want more, always, always. To God be the glory. And our discussions go so much to the place that it's hard for us to finish a book. It is very hard for us to finish the book that's designated for that class, because sometimes we get off in the left field because one question will take us someplace that takes us someplace, and before we know it, we've spent so much time, you know, on these other things that we don't cover what it is that we need to cover, but still interesting information, still a good class. In chapter 2 of the book, we were talking about embracing the mantle, just let me read a little bit here about the embracing of the mantle. It says, we must understand that there are various mantles in different areas of leadership. If one desires the mantle of their leader, they would have to apply themselves under three principles, which give them access to the power, the grace, and the anointing that rest on their leadership or on their leader / spiritual father. Carrying the mantle was common for the person that served as the successor. The successor should know how to handle the mantle as they have learned how to handle their leader and his or her tools for ministry. If you do not know how to handle the leader and his or her tools, consequently, you will not be able to handle his or her mantle correctly. What is a mantle? The mantle is a loose-fitting garment worn by the prophets or other officials in authority to signify their position and power to exercise dominion. Mantles reflect latitude, stature, prestige, and provisions of the possessor. as well as the authority to act. In his book, How to Increase the Anointing, Kenneth Hagin says, the mantle actually was a symbol of that particular office. He also says, the mantle will envelop an individual, and he or she will minister under the anointing that goes with whatever their office or calling of God. And so that is the mantle. It was a loose-fitting clothing worn by the prophet. And they would take off the mantle, that cloak. They would take that off and wrap it over the person that is to be identified as either their successor or identified as someone that would follow them and walk in the same type of anointing and eventually authority, that would walk in that same authority. But one of the main things is when the mantle is placed on you, you are to follow that person. And most of us follow our leaders that are appointed over us. We follow the leader whether or not we have the actual mantle on us. We follow it. But when a mantle is placed on someone, it's like an outward sign of, you know, this person here is the one that I'm saying, you know, basically is my successor. This person here is the one that I'm really, you know, putting my all in. This person that the mantle is placed on, they become a servant to the person that they are following. And hear me when I say this, beloved. All of us in the ministry, we are all servants of God, every single one of us. We're serving someone. We're serving, you know, like I serve the congregation. I would serve the man of God that is my covering. I'm serving my armor bearer and my ministers, you know. They serve me and serve the people. And the list goes on, but we're always serving. The word says if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you become a servant to all. So we're all serving. But that person that's walking in the place where that mantle is placed on them, they are walking closer to the leader or their spiritual father than most other people. And hear me that the spiritual father can be the father of many, and it doesn't have to be, quote unquote, a man that is the spiritual father here. The spiritual mother, your spiritual father, you know, that you're walking close with them. You're walking close. And in most cases, our armor bearers are the ones that are the closest to us. And the prophet is definitely supposed to be close to the pastor of the church. You know, a lot of people think, you know, that the pastor definitely, you know, making the final decisions, deciding where they should go, gets all the vision and you go and so forth and so on. Some of that is true. But the prophet that is supposed to be in God's ear, day in and day out, in his ear, that when projects and things are going on at the church, the prophet can hear from God and say to the pastor, bishop, apostle, you know, the Lord said, or this is what I heard when I was praying last night, and tell their leader what God is saying about a certain thing. And it's left up to that pastor to listen, embrace it, or don't receive it. It's left up to them to receive. But the prophet will hear things that the pastor has not yet been told. And so that relationship between the pastor and the prophet is a very close relationship. It is a relationship that is to be, what is the word I'm looking for? It is a relationship that is to be cherished. It's one to be cherished. They should be close to one another because the father will speak to the prophet. Not that he won't speak to the pastor, but this is part of the developing of the relationship. And I thank God, you know, for the people, like I said, that I have with me. I praise God for them. And we are all learning how to let God use us in the offices, in the roles that he has put us in. And how do we receive, you know, from one another? How do we hear and listen and embrace what it is that God is saying? So speaking about, you know, that mantle being placed on someone and there's a succession, you know, somebody that will walk in your shoes, walk in your place as you move on, whether it's on and upward or on and out. When I say you, I'm speaking of the leader right then and there. You may be moving out. You may be moving on and upward because God has called you to another level and somebody has got to replace you, you know, in the position and the office that you are walking in. So what is succession? And according to Bishop Walker, succession is defined as the coming of one person or a thing after another, in order, sequence, or in the course of events. It is a number of persons or things following one another in order or sequence. It is the right act or process by which one person succeeds to the office, rank, estate, or the like of another. It is the order or line of those entitled to succeed one another. It is the descent or the transmission of a throne, dignity, estate, or the like. It is also called ecological succession. Ecology, the progressive replacement of one community by another until a climax community is established. So then there were three principles of succession and develop our inner character accordingly. And the principle one, the law of succession. You can be a successor as Joshua and Elisha and gain access to the mantle of your leader, spiritual father, or mentor. In contrast, you can follow the example of Gehazi, who served Elisha and failed due to greed. And consequently, Gehazi did not display the character or the heart of his leader. And his leader, Elisha. Again, some say Elisha. I say Elisha. And the principle of succession is simple. You walk under the hand of your leader and serve honorably, and his mantle comes to you. Elisha served, submitted, and stood with honor and received double of what was on his leader, Elijah. There are some things that he did which stood out, such as he refused to obey other voices around him. He served closer than anyone else around him. He served without quitting, even though Elijah gave him reasons, that one I love. He created an unwavering focus on purpose, and he stayed in proper alignment with his leader. These are all very, very important steps. When you're looking at succession, and the reason I said that I liked the one he served without quitting, even though Elijah gave him reasons to quit. Because we are in the flesh as well as walking in the spirit, there's sometimes we're going to operate in the natural, operate in the flesh, and there will be discord amongst the mentor and the mentee. And the mentee has got to have the backbone to stand and take it no matter what. Don't quit. And then prayerfully, the mentor also comes to the place of acknowledging where they were wrong and make amends. Now, mind you, the mentor may never make amends about it, may never say, I was wrong. But one that is walking close with the leader has got to be in the place to understand that what may have happened between the two of them, remember, we're not fighting against flesh and bones, but against all these principalities and rulers of darkness and so forth and so on, these demonic spirits, that there are spirits that could be ruling in that particular situation and or time. So therefore, we must pray about those things. We must ask God for the strength to carry on. We will not always agree with our leader. And trust me, I know that. We will not always agree with the leader, but we don't pick up our ball or take our ball and go home because we got mad at the leader. The leader offended us. The leader chose somebody else to do something that we wanted to do, so forth and so on. No, you've got to have stick-to-itiveness. You've got to have it. Because that relationship will be tried. It will be tried. And me, as walking in the office of the pastor and then becoming an apostle, just let me say, as a pastor, I've had several people that quit, several people that had great potential that quit, and they shouldn't have. And I praise God for those that came back and apologized. I praise God for them. I praise God, for reconciliation, because that's what we're supposed to praise God for. But just be careful, and as to all of us, be careful, because I know there have been some things that ruffled my feathers, and I'm like, hey, you know something? I don't have to deal with this. I don't have to go through this. But that's where God had placed me. That's where God had said, this is where you stay. You stay here and let me work things out. Let me work those things out. And so we do so. We do so. So, and it's such an honorable thing in the end. It is such an honorable thing. I listened to John Belvere. I listened to him a lot. And the times that he went through things where, the offense was so hard that he did not know how he was going to make it. But God gave him the wherewithal to make it. Don't give up. Because you have no idea what God is doing in you and in that person. And it could be a marvelous thing. Giving up to me, and this is for me. No one else is saying this. This is coming from me. Giving up to me means that I perceive that Satan and his powers are greater than the God I serve. That's what it means to me. And I don't ever want to give him that kind of glory. I don't ever. The word says greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. And I don't ever want to give Satan that glory. Have I done so before? You better believe it. You better believe it. There are things I quit on. There are things I said, hey, enough is enough, not going here. And the fact that I'm a divorced person, shows that I've done that. I gave up. But listen, when I say I gave up, I had legal, biblical reasons that I was able to let those marriages go. But I have looked back over my life and said, what if I had stayed in that fight? Because it wasn't, you know, like somebody was beating me up or you know, taking any physical thing. And yeah, there was some verbal abuse, you know, but when I look at how close we are as friends today, would I have been able to have handled throughout the years, you know, whatever it was I had to go through? I don't know. I don't know. So, you know, in one side of my face, I'm saying I gave up. On the other side of my face, I'm saying, you know, that whole thing wasn't my assignment. You know, I got married at 17. You know, what kind of knowledge did I have of things back then? Whatever the case may be. But all I'm simply saying is we all get to a place where we say, you know, enough is enough. I don't want this marriage. I don't want this job. I don't want to be under this pastor. I don't want to be in this church. I don't want to live in this house. You know, there's some place where we say, that's it, enough. But be sure that whatever it is we do, that we're doing it in the timing of God. And not and in the timing of God, and if we're doing it in the timing of God, that means we're in his will, and we're doing what he says to do when he says to do it, when he says to do it. You may get a vision. You may have a dream. You may have a prophet tell you something, and those things may be true. But when are we supposed to act on those things? When? You know, years before I physically became a pastor, it was prophesied over and over again that that was what I was supposed to do. Years before I was consecrated as an apostle, before that happened, for years I was told, I heard in my spirit that I was an apostle. Whether anyone confirmed it or not really didn't matter. I know what God said to me. But the point is that these things I heard years before those things took place. And I waited until God says, okay, now is the time. I waited. I remember when Apostle Trout first became our covering, and he told me, you know, before that I was an apostle. He told me before that I served under him for 5 or 6 years and served under him and with him for 5 or 6 years before I was consecrated to that office. It doesn't mean that I had to be consecrated, you know, when he told me before he even became my apostle, you know, he told me. So we be careful. We have a young fellow in our church that he's 9 years old now, I believe, and this young man is a prophet. It doesn't mean that ordain him or consecrate him, set him apart, you know, for the office of the prophet at that age. I have identified what is in him as a child. I know that's what he will walk in, but it doesn't mean to, you know, give him an ordination service and a consecration service and have him walking in that right now. No, there's still some training that has to be done. There's still some things he has to go through. There's wilderness that he has to walk through. There are things, but we acknowledge him. He is a prophet of God. You know, so you will see this on your children and so forth, but it doesn't mean jump out there and do an ordination service for them. So just be careful of what it is that you're hearing, that you're doing, and that you're walking in the timing of God. You're walking in his timing. All right.